Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The second of the three sessions on Slichot. Last week we did the general structure of the Slichot, and I have one or two CDs of that class. If anybody missed it and wants it, it's not yet up on the website. I'll take that as a bid. Okay? And more can easily be made if anybody needs. As far as today, I'm still toying with the idea of discussing the Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim. Azi Lipshtadt emailed me about a series of podcasts that are available from one of the Rebbeim of Yeshivat Har Etzion on that topic. And if I feel that I have something to say through him or through anybody else, so perhaps we'll do that next week. Otherwise, we'll take another slicha and analyze it. What I wanted to do this time was an akedah, which means a slicha, which asks God's forgiveness, as they all do, but in the merit of Akedat Yitzchak, of the binding of Isaac. And you find an akedah in each one of the slichot, certainly from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. As I was reviewing this, I've taught it before, but as I was reviewing it, I discovered something that I hadn't remembered, and that is that there's a difference of opinion as to which day you're supposed to say this. I believe that in the kinos that you have, in the Art Scroll kinos, you will find this one on Tzom Gedalia. Ima Face Rova Hakein. What page do you have it on? I should use the
page
same.
Page 490.
Okay. On page 490. In the one that I Xeroxed here, from the Piyut HaMivuar, the Institute for Explaining Piyutim, they have it as Yom Rivi'i of Aseret Yemei Tshuva. And, well, it shouldn't shock us. There are many such occurrences, different minhagim, as to exactly when you say a particular piyut, but it's something worth noting. Now, the thing that strikes one first when looking at any piyut, but certainly this one, is that the paitan, the psalmist, or not the psalmist, the poet, basically circumscribes himself so much by insisting on achieving a certain rhyme scheme and by insisting upon using almost exclusively phrases from the Torah or from the Tanakh or from the rabbinic literature. And basically what you see them doing is sewing up those phrases and using them in ways that the original pasuk never meant, finding new meanings and getting the message across through borrowed words and stitching it up in such a way that he has to add almost nothing in order to get it all across. So our job is going to be to try to take a look behind the scenes at the artistry, how exactly he gets it done. Okay, we learned last week that since this does not have a name of God in the first line, that's why it starts with Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu. And then can you tell me what's the rhyme in this? There are four words that rhyme here. What are they? In the first two lines, the first couplet. Cain, Rikain, Alkain, Zakain. Okay, so it rhymes. Im Afes, Rova Hakain. So, a face is nothing, right? If we haven't got, if we draw a zero when it comes to the Rova Hakain, what's a Rova Hakain? So, when a person would sacrifice a korban that came from a bird, that's about how much it would cost. Rova Hashekel, I think it was, for a cane, for a nest, for a bird sacrifice. And there, the Mara says that if a person commits a sin nowadays and doesn't have the opportunity to give a korban oath that he needs to, so that's the amount he should set aside. Yafrish rova hakein. Okay. Rova, a shekel for his korban oath. So this is saying, if indeed we no longer have the ability to sacrifice a korban to gain kapara, Furthermore, but by the way, im afes, does that sound familiar to you? You can answer, you don't have to be so self-effacing.
Yeah. Is it like FS meaning zero?
Yes, but where does that phrase come from? Not all of the... You see, Art Scroll doesn't tell you that that's actually a quotation. You see, the trick is to find biblical allusions that they don't tell you about.
When,
in Parshat Vayigash, when Yosef was selling food to the Mitzrim, and they ran out of money, so they sold their animals and then they sold themselves as slaves. So see, they said to Yosef said, Havu b'miknechem, havu miknechem im afes kasef. If you don't have money, so give me your cattle and I'll give you food for your cattle. So im afes is a quotation. Rova hakein is a term which is a quotation. Ohel shikain imrikain. So that's an internal rhyme, in addition to being the regular rhyme. Ohel Shikain, the tent, the dwelling place in which God caused himself to dwell. Imrikain, rake, empty, if it's now empty. We haven't got a korban because the Beit HaMikdash or the Mishkan is now empty. The Pasuk in Tehillim talks about Mishkan Shiloh and calls it Ohel Shikain Ba'adam. Ohel Shikain is a quotation. I don't think Imri Kain is a quotation, but I'm not sure. Al Novda Al Kain. Let us not be lost for that reason. In other words, all hope is not lost. Even though we don't have a Beit HaMikdash and we can't get Kapara that way, where does the phrase Al Novda come from? Here I do see an art scroll, the number 6 for the footnote. C.F. Jonah 1:14. The sailors, when they saw that the lots fell on Jonah, they said, you know, Hashem, don't make us all die because of this guy. So, Al Novda. So let us not consider ourselves lost just because we haven't got the ability to do a korban for kapara. And the reason why we can hope is because Yeshlanu Av Zaken. We have an old father. Where does that phrase come from? Yeshlanu Av Zaken. Who said that? The brothers of Yosef. To Yosef, whom they thought was the viceroy, they said, Yeshlanu Av Zaken, v'yeled zikunim katon, v'yachiv meit. When they said it, what feeling did they intend to evoke through Yeshlanu Av Zaken? Pity. And Zaken meant old, feeble, decrepit. Have pity on this old, doddering father of ours. Over here, that's not what it means. It takes the phrase, but Av Zaken is a reference to Hashem. And Zaken is a much more respectful term. We have the ancient one who was our father, and he is not going to forsake us, even if the Beit HaMikdash no longer exists. So that's the first stanza. Okay. You could say, I think you could make an argument for both. You certainly could. Panim lo takir. Well, you know something? I think Art Scroll is right, because the next begins addressing God and asking God to show favor to him, meaning to the Av Zaken, to Avraham. Panim lo takir. Show Avraham favor. The Pasuk says in Parshat Devarim, Lo takiru panim b'mishpat. You may not play favorites. So panim lo takir is a play on that. And there is a tradition that Hashem does play favorites when it comes to the Jewish people. And that actually is reflected in the first of your supplementary sources, the Gemara in Brachot. Reads one of the sentences of Birkat Kohanim that way, Darash Rav Avira, Zimnin Amar LaMishmei Rabbi Ami, V'Zimnin Amar LaMishmei Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Avira said it sometimes in the name of one Amora from Eretz Yisrael, sometimes in the name of another. Amru Malachi Hasharet Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the angels said before God, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the universe, Katuv b'Toratecha asher lo yisafanim v'lo yikach shochad. Your Torah says that you do not play favorites nor do you take bribes. V'halo atano seifanim li Yisrael, but do you not show favoritism to the Jews? Dichtiv yisa Hashem panav elecha. Now, you could argue that it has nothing to do with playing favorites. It means lifting up a favorable countenance, but it doesn't mean playing favorites. But the assumption is that this is nisi'at panim, that this is being playing favorites. So, how can you do that? It's against what you yourself said. And Hashem answers the angels, Amar lehem v'chilo esaf panim liYisrael. How can I not show them some favor? Shekatavti lahem b'Torah v'yachalta v'sabata uverachta et Hashem Elokecha. That you only have to bench if you eat to satiety until you're full. V'heim midaktikim al atzmam ad kazayet v'ad kebetza. And they bench even if they've only eaten a kazayas or a kebetza. So you could discuss this memra in and of itself. You know, why would that be the thing which causes God to show favoritism? But what I'm saying is this idea of being nosei panim and makir panim has a root in Talmudic literature. And so when we say, show Avraham favoritism, it's not something so out of the ordinary. So panim lo takir, show Avraham favoritism, favor. Vitzitko lefanecha nazkiran, we will mention Avraham's righteousness before you. Tzi vito, you commanded him, quote, Kachna et bincha yakir. Where should I end the quote? Where should I close the quotation mark? Right. Because this is the first quotation from the Akedah itself, Bereshit Perek Kaf Bet, where Hashem says to Abraham, Kachna et bincha et yichidcha asher ahavta et Yitzchak. Then how come there's an extra word, Kachna et bincha yakir? Was that Yitzchak's middle name, Yakir? So the answer is, it had to rhyme. So what pasuk is getting spliced in here? Haben Yakir li Ephraim. Even when he's forced to rhyme, he does it in such an artistic way by putting together another existing pasuk. You ordered him to take his precious son, Haben Yakir li Ephraim, v'nimtza damo al kir. That's a pasuk. Art scroll knows it. It's a pasuk that's dealing with a korban ha'of, which goes back to im afes rova ha'kein, and it's saying, it's describing how the blood of the bird that is offered is squeezed out onto the wall of the mizbeach. So you told Avraham to take his precious son and have his blood splattered on the mizbeach. He should be the bird offering. Next. Ratz el hana'ar v'hikdisho. He ran to the young man and sanctified him. So is there a pasuk that says that? Is that what it says that Abraham did at the Akedah? So here we're already getting into, you know, midrashic accounts of how Abraham actually did the Akedah. But the word ratz, is that a foreign word for Abraham? Where does it appear connected to Abraham? The angels came. V'yel ha-bakar ratz Abraham. So in a sense, Yitzchak becomes the bakar. He becomes the animal. And Abraham runs to him. Na'ar is used with reference to Yitzchak. Al tishlach yadcha el ha-na'ar v'yel ta'as lo me'uma. And Abraham sanctified him. This might also be weighing in on the debate as to what was Avraham's attitude through this process of the Akedah. Did he do it with a smile on his face, or did he do it through tears streaming down his face? Now, I don't think it has to be conclusive, but when you emphasize the alacrity that he ran to him and sanctified him, even though, that's probably a vav hanigud, v'nafsho kishura b'nafsho. About whom does that get said originally? Nafsho kishura b'nafsho? So this is going back again. Yeah. Going back again to the phrases that are used between Yeshlanu Av Zaken, Yehuda talking to Yosef, where he says, you cannot take away Binyamin because this old father and Binyamin are attached, they're Siamese, they're attached by the soul. Nafsho kishura b'nafsho. And if he doesn't come back, Yaakov will die. And just to complete the thought from before, it appears possibly that this piyut is assuming along the lines of the Midrashim that Avraham performed this joyfully, running with eagerness to do it. And how did he do it? The choreography is spelt out here. Itro va'etzim v'isho. Itro comes from the word atara, a crown. He gave him as a crown the wood and his fire. Is that what it says in the Torah? What does it say in the Torah? How did the instruments, how did the accessories find their way to Har HaMoriah? Vayikach Avraham, how does it go? Vayikach biyado et ha'esh v'et ha'ma'achelet. Avraham was holding the esh, whatever that means, whether it was a tinderbox, if they existed, or whether it was a Flintstone, Fred or Wilma, whatever it happened to be to make the fire, and the ma'achelet, the knife that was going to be used. And then it says, how does it go? Vayashkim Avraham HaBoker. Yeah, this I should know by heart, right? Vayivaka atzei olah. So it says that he gave Yitzchak the atzei olah to carry. So the etzim is fine. Isho is not necessarily fine. So you could see if Yitzchak is carrying the etzim, you could see them on his shoulders coming out at a jutting angle, and you could see them rising above his head, perhaps on his shoulders, that could be seen metaphorically as a crown. Itro va'etzim v'isho. But the esh is not necessarily given to Yitzchak in the pasuk. Where does this image come from? That Yitzchak walks to the Akedah carrying the instrument of his own sacrifice? So I would suggest that it comes from an account in Masechet Pesachim Daf Samach Vav, source number 2. I'll just summarize it to you. This is the famous story about Hillel and B'nai B'Teira, when Hillel became the head of the Sanhedrin because he knew how to prove, and he had a tradition that he could call upon from Shemaya and Avtalion, to prove that the Korban Pesach could be offered even on Shabbat, if Erev Pesach was on Shabbat. And they were so impressed when he finally said that he has that Kabbalah. They didn't accept his Kal V'chomer, his Gezeirah Shavah, but they accepted his tradition. And then he gave them a little bit of a tongue lashing. He said, that's because I didn't mind learning from the Geirim, Shemaya and Avtalion, and I went Chutz La'aretz to learn from them, but you guys, because you sat pretty over here, you didn't know. And he was Hillel, who was the most modest. You know all the stories about Hillel's patience and so forth. So the Gemara on the next Amud makes it clear that it was because of this temporary lapse of modesty in the most modest individual, and they give another such example of Moshe Rabbeinu, the most modest people, when they lapse in their modesty, which we all do much more than they do, they end up forgetting Torah. Because modesty is the way in which we carve out extra space within ourselves and we make ourselves the most capacious receptacles for Torah. If we are less full of ourselves, we can be more full of Torah. In other words, when the walls of our own ability to receive become as thin as geometric planes, that means we've gotten rid of the gaiva, halavai, so then we can fit more Torah. As soon as a little of ourself gets in there, well, some of the Torah has to fall out. So Hillel had a momentary lapse, and he said, I went to Shemaya, and I'm telling him, you didn't. And the next minute, they're asking a question. They said, you know, we're bringing the korbanot, bringing the animals to the Beit HaMikdash to sacrifice them, or we're going to the Beit HaMikdash to sacrifice our animals on Shabbat, but what do we do when it comes to the knife? If we forgot to bring a knife before, how can we carry the knife? That's not the actual, the mitzvah of Shechita is Docha Shabbos. But machshirin, preparatory acts, getting the knife to the Beit HaMikdash, that's not the act of the korban itself. Are we allowed to carry the knife? Much as we talk about whether the preparatory acts for Bris Milah are Docha Shabbos. So at that point, Hillel was forced to admit, I heard that and I forgot it. Maybe when I was yelling at you, maybe that's when it fell out of my mind. So he was forced to admit that, and what happened? He said, but Hanach Lahem Li Yisrael, trust the Jewish people, leave them to act. When you have a religious Jewish community who had authorities who knew what they were talking about, and they developed minhagim that made sense, so you can be sure that they will automatically do what is right. They'll just fall into their natural groove. And sure enough, what did they do? Person who had a sheep to sacrifice stuck the knife in the wool of the sheep. The person who had a ram to sacrifice stuck it through the horns of the ram. And so the ram is walking to the Beit HaMikdash with the Korban Pesach, crowned with its own instrument of sacrifice. So my thought was that is where the Paitan got the idea of Yitzchak serving as the sacrifice and carrying his own instrument of sacrifice as a crown as well. It's a possibility. Well, next stanza. Sorry, I skipped a phrase. V'nezer Elokav al Rosho. So Nezer is a synonym and parallel to the word itro, except itro is the verb form and nezer is the actual noun. It's a crown. The crown of his God is upon his head. Who is described as having a nezer elokim al rosho? So you find similar psukim about both the nazir and the kohen gadol. The hair of the nazir, and I believe there's something similar for the kohen gadol who also has certain special laws. But certainly the Nazir. Yachid Rach Hukal Katzvi. Okay, where does the word Yachid come from? Kachna et Bincha et Yachidcha. When he's reaching for a word, he doesn't reach to the dictionary. He reaches to these narratives that they're like the colors of his palette. Where does the word rach come from? Just in case you didn't believe me about the word ratz. It doesn't say that Yitzchak was rach. Where does it say rach? The Malachim coming to Abraham. V'el habakar ratz Abraham. Vayikach ben Bakar, Rach Vatov, Vayitain El Hana'ar. Okay, so the young, soft, immature one, Hukal Katzvi, was quick as a deer. So where does that phrase come from, Hukal Katzvi? Well, it just might happen to come from Pirkei Avot. Source number 3, Yehuda ben Tema Omer. It's sort of like a little bit of a shotness, mixing and matching, but Hevi az kanamer v'kal kanesher v'ratz katzvi v'yibor ka'ari la'asot v'tzon avicha shebashamayim. Okay, so I mixed and matched kal and tzvi. But the idea of being as swift as a deer is being borrowed. So here also, not just was Avraham quick and full of eagerness to do the mitzvah of Hashem, Yitzchak answered in kind. Ana ve'amar avi. Where is he getting the word ana and amar from? Avi he gets from the Akedah. Yitzchak says avi, And Abraham says, Hineni v'ni. But where does Anna and Amar come from? Anna dodi v'yamar li. That's a frequent flyer in Shir HaShirim. So, and why is it fitting to use over here? What is it creating? Yeah, the relationship, the love relationship is evoked just by using Shir HaShirim imagery. Ana v'yamar avi, hinei ha'esh v'ha'etzim navi, u'tshura ein lahavi. So, we recognize the phrase Hinei ha'esh v'ha'etzim. That's in the Akedah. Hinei ha'esh v'ha'etzim v'ayei haseh le'ola. Where's the beef? That's what he said. Where's the beef? But where do you have the phrase from? Uchura ein lahavi. Yeah. Who said it to whom? I have it for you on the sources also. So Shaul is looking for the donkeys, you know, the man who went out to look for donkeys and instead he found a kingdom. So Shaul is about to give up the search for the donkeys, and his Na'ar says to him, hey, I hear there's this sort of celestial lost and found over here. There's this seer, there's this Ro'eh. Because in those days they called the Navi a Ro'eh. Why don't we ask him? And Shaul says, yeah, but you know, we just finished eating our last food, and tradition is you bring something to the Navi, and the thing that you bring is called a tshura. We have nothing to bring him. Nothing to bring the Navi. So here, when he is forced to use a rhyme, he chooses the word Navi, which happens to fit into the theme, even though they call him Ro'eh in the Pasuk. We've got the fire, we've got the Eitzim, we're bringing that, but Tshura, meaning the actual korban, ein lahavi, we don't have. By the way, the Rova HaKain also has an echo in Sefer Shmuel here, where they end up giving from the Na'ar's wallet a Reva Shekel Kesef. A Reva Shekel Kesef. Okay. Milin Heshivo Mila Havhilo. So here already it's borrowing from Midrashim. When Avraham answers, Elokim Yir Elo Hasel Ola Bini, God will show you the set. So the Midrashim say that he didn't want to scare Yitzchak. So he didn't say outright, look in the mirror, kid. So that's, he answered him with words designed not to scare him. Milahav hilo. Ana aviv ve'amar lo. And he answered him with the same love. Elokim yir elo. Hashem will find for himself the korban. V'yoda Hashem et asher lo. And Hashem will make known that which is his. Where does that phrase come from? Boker v'yoda Hashem et asher lo v'et hakadosh v'hikriv elav Rav lachem b'nei Levi. Who said that to whom? Moshe to Korach. Oh, so you want to go one-on-one with Aharon? See whose ketores is going to be accepted? Hashem will show who is his. And so it's being borrowed and it's being sort of de-sinisterized. The sinister nature of it is being taken away, and it's more Hashem will show whom he has chosen as his korban.
But throughout the Akedah, can't we say that Aaron is prophesying without being aware that he's saying the word? He's saying, Shlumachem Bo, I will sit here because we are just going to bow down and we will have Shuba, which means in plural, we are coming back. Mm-hmm. He's saying to Yitzchak, Hashem Yerelam was upset. He is saying to placate, but at the same time he's saying the Nebuah. He may not be aware that he's saying.
Mm-hmm. Works for me. No, truly.
Anybody say
Truly, no, I think it's a beautiful idea. He is saying things which can be understood on more than one level. On one level, he's not going to tell the Na'arim, you know, what he's about to do. On the other level, he's saying what he hopes will happen, and he's also saying what he's not sure about, but will ultimately happen. And I think it's certainly able to be said. B'mitzvotecha shnehem nizharim. They are both, now there must be a source for this, but I'm not aware of it. It's probably a midrash, that they were both being so careful about your command. V'yacharecha lo mehar harim. And they're not doubting you, God. They didn't doubt you. Again, this is probably additional support for the idea that this is based on the midrashim, that they were doing it with total emunah and not through a veil of tears, but almost, if not actually, with joy. Chashu ma'od nimharim. How does Art School translate that? Okay. Alachad heharim. Well, that's a phrase from the Akedah. So, should do a little bit more homework and find out exactly which midrashim use these sorts of phrases, because I don't have any that come to mind. And then, of course, the famous midrash, Ra'u Eish Tlula, they saw a light or a fire above the correct mountain, above Har HaMoriah. Mi Haru. Interesting. It's sort of like a homonym almost. It's alliterative with Moriah, Maharu Moriah. Miharu Atseola. They quickly brought down the lumber to make the mizbeach. Yachad be'ahava klula, with a common love. Now what that really is also hinting at a pasuk. Which pasuk? Exactly. Zacharti la chesed nehurayach ahavat kelulotayach, which is the Haftorah for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Yishru ba'arava mesila, they blazed a straight path in the arava. Ra'a yachid kihu haseh. At this point, the yachid, which is again a reference to Yitzhak, saw, understood is better. He understood that he is to be the seh. Na'am, and he spake. I guess that would be great for Shakespearean. He spoke formally. He spake lehoro haminuseh, to his tried father. Minuseh from the word nisayon. And this probably also alludes to the idea that this is called a nisayon, one of the ten nisyonot, perhaps the final one. Certainly according to some opinions, the final one of Avraham's ten nisyonot. And it probably is also alludes to the fact that it's not called Akedat Yitzchak. It's called Akedat Yitzchak, but it's counted as a test of Avraham, because it was totally counter to Avraham's nature and midah of chesed, but Yitzchak's nature was gvura, and therefore self-sacrifice is playing to his strength. Your nisayon is in the area where it's against your nature. So he said to his father, who was being tested, Oti kecheves ta'aseh, make me like a sheep. Lo tachmol velo techaseh, have no pity, and do not cover up. First of all, where does that come from, lo tachmol velo techaseh? When you talk about somebody in your family, ben avicho, ben imecho, whatever comes and asks you to do avodah zarah, the mesis, the mesit. So you're supposed to execute the person, and you're not supposed to cover up for him, you're not supposed to have pity on him. What does it mean, make me like a keves? Was Yitzchak saying this sheepishly? Tie me up. That's probably an allusion to the Midrashim, where Yitzchak says, you've got to tie me down because I don't want to move, and then the knife will get me the wrong way, and I'll become pasul as a korban, I'll become disqualified. Bi chafetz v'nichsof, God desires me, levavi lo echsof, so I shall bear my heart to him. Chasifa is uncovering. And here too, you know, whenever you see, so they don't quote any psukim, and I don't know Tanakh well enough to tell you where those phrases come from. But with all that we've seen, there's got to be something. This poet cannot go through six words without having alluded to something. So, give you homework. Ha'im timta eini sof, will you hold me back? In the end, will you withhold me? Surely not. Ruchi v'nishmati elav ya'asof, he shall gather my spirit, my neshama, to him. And there apparently there is a pasuk in Iyov. Not one of my stronger books. Okay. Yadav v'raglav akad. So Abraham tied Yitzchak's hands and legs. Again, this doesn't say, it says v'ya'akod et Yitzchak b'no. Doesn't get that explicit in the pasuk, but he's being more explicit here. V'charbo alav pakad. It basically means he brandished his sword, he lifted the sword. It's calling it here a cherev. In the Chumash, it calls it a ma'achelet. Certainly for the rhyme, it wouldn't have fit to say, you know, u'ma'achalto alav pakad. Although, you know, if you're going to use the word pakad, cherev probably fits better than, let's say, you know, any other word for knife, because you have ufakadeti b'shevet pish'am. When you are visiting their sins upon them and punishing them for a sin, so the term that is used to visit this type of harm upon somebody seems to go more with a weapon of violence than with a butter knife or even a steak knife. Lisumo al eitzim shakad. To place him on the wood, he worked hard. Oh, here's a great word. He hide to place him on the wood. I wonder how you translate hide into English. Let's see what. Okay, shakad. Okay, that's like in Yirmiyahu, makel shoked ani ro'eh, Hashem shoked al hara'a. Wanting to do it quickly is quick to do something. You see what Rosenfeld says. He laid him carefully on the wood. Shakad, which means sort of to do something assiduously, more like Misha shoked al haTorah yomam v'layla. Except, I think that shoked al Torah yomam v'layla is a much later usage. I'm not an expert, but it seems to me that shoked in Tanakh, like in Yirmiyahu, has to do with hurrying. And I would vote for Art Scroll over Rosenfeld, as hard as it hurts to say that. Yeah. Okay. V'ha'esh al ha'mizbeach tukad. That's a pasuk straight out of Parshat Tzav. V'ha'esh al ha'mizbeach tukad bo lo tichbe. It's talking about having a permanent, an eternal fire on the mizbeach that never goes out. Which, by the way, also hints that we're talking here about a korban whose merit, whose chut, whose power will be eternal and will never go out. So you could say that that's alluded to. Savar pashat me'ilav, he stretched out his throat. Ve'aviv nigash elav, and his father approached. L'shachato l'shem be'alav, to slaughter him for the sake of, or having in mind, his master. Who is his master? Hashem. But that happens to be a technical reference too, because the Mishnah says in Masechet Zvachim, source 5, L'shem shisha dvarim hazevach nizbach. You have to have six things in mind that you're slaughtering a korban, having these three six things: l'shem zevach, l'shem zoveach, l'shem hashem, l'shem ishim, l'shem reach, l'shem nichoach, ve'achatat ve'ha'asham, l'shem chet. So one of the things that you have to have in mind is that it's being done l'shem be'alav, for the sake of Hashem. So yes. Except, well, first of all, Elokim is also plural. And you have that term in the Torah with regard to Parshat Shomrim, says if something happens to an animal, be'alav ein imo, shalem yishalem. Im be'alav imo lo yishalem, im sachir hu ba bischaro, in mishpatim. So he's borrowing a biblical term. But so the original sense of the shem be'alav can mean to sacrifice a korban, having the one who brought the korban in mind. Here, it's using it in the sense of sacrificing for the sake of the real Baal of Hashem. And then it concludes, and of course you need the word Ba'alav for the rhyme as well, but it fits very beautifully. V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav. And behold, God is standing over him. This is where God comes into the picture and stops him through the angel. Notice the angel doesn't appear over here. We're talking about a direct relationship with Hashem. And Hashem is going to remember Abraham and forgive us because of that. No intermediaries are necessary. But it's very interesting. Hashem nitzav alav. So Rashi on Chumash says, V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav l'shamro. Where does that come from? V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav. V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav v'yomar ani Hashem Elokei Avraham Avicha v'Elokei Yitzchak. Why doesn't he say v'Elokei Yaakov? Because he's talking to Yaakov. This is the dream with the ladder. And Hashem is on this ladder. Nitzav al alav, whether al the ladder or over. Here it seems to be saying alav over Yaakov, to protect him. And one interpretation of the Gemara of protecting him is given in source number 6. It says that there were angels going up and down. And the classic question is, why are they going up first? Angels live in the heavens. So they should be coming down from the heavens first. And then they should be going up. So there are all kinds of answers given. You know, Rashi's famous answer, the angels from outside of Israel are changing. You know, with the angels that are inside of Israel, the ones who finished their job are going up, the ones who are starting are going down. But the Gemara is not saying. The Gemara says that the angels from heaven went first and looked at the picture of Yaakov, which was on God's throne. And then they went down, they looked at Yaakov lying there on the ground, and they said, it's not a good likeness. Yaakov has not really fulfilled everything necessary to be totally like his image is supposed to be on the Kisei HaKavod. And they wanted to harm him. And so Hashem nitzav alav l'shomro means God was protecting him not from Esav, but in this midrash, protecting him from the angels who sought to harm him because he hadn't lived up to his potential in some way. And so over here, Hashem is standing over Avraham, or maybe over Yitzchak, once more to protect. No harm is going to come to Yitzchak, because you have lived up to everything. And it's interesting, if you take this angel thing, so Hashem is basically saying, you know, in this piyut, Hashem is banishing the angels also. The angels don't have a role, they don't need to tell you anything. I'm the one who's going to protect you from angels, from harm, from knives. But it's interesting how the angel takes a powder here. Okay. Chakar et asher na'asa. God investigated what had happened, all that Abraham and Yitzchak had done. Ha'aval beno lo chasa. How the father could have not taken pity upon his son. Libo el kapav nasa, and instead he took his heart in his hands, I guess. He probably based on the pasuk in Eicha. Is that what it says in 14? You know, nisa levavenu el kapenu el kel bashamayim. So basically, I assume that means that Abraham directed his prayer up to Hashem in hopefulness, and then it concludes, Vayar Elokim et kol asher asa. So, where is that, of course, originally? That's in Briyat HaOlam. How does it continue? Vayar Elokim et kol asher asa, Vihine Tov Me'od. Tov Me'od. And what's the famous midrash on that?
Death.
that death is tov ma'od. So it's almost a saying that this act of sacrifice was tov ma'od and is considered as if it happened and will serve as a source of merit for all future generations. And so you notice how quoting part of a pasuk begs the rest of it. Kara l'meirechem mishchar. And here, our scroll, I think that's from Yirmiyahu, right? 16? No? It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Saying how Hashem knew you from when you were a pup. He called to Avram, whom he knew from such a young, tender age. And he said to him, Timur bincha tivchar. Choose someone to substitute for your son. What's the word for trying to substitute one animal for another animal as a korban? Tamura. That's a whole masechta. So choose a tamura. Normally, you're not allowed to. But here, Hashem gave the instruction. If he made the rule, he can break it. He says, here, I'm telling you, choose a tamura. V'hine ayel achar, and that's a quotation. Vayar v'hine ayel. Achar nechaz basvach bekarnav. So, behold, there is this aisle. Hashem showed him the aisle. Va'asei al ta'achar. Quick, do it. Don't delay. Chalifei azkarato. The exchange, the way he is being exchanged for this aisle. Tikon haktarato. It should be just as if he had been offered. V'ta'ale timrato, and his pillar of smoke shall go up. Whose pillar of smoke? So the aisles, yes, but in a bit silent, even as if it was Yitzchak going up. You have that concept that Hashem considers it as if Yitzchak had been offered. There's the famous midrash on the pasuk, V'zacharti et briti Yaakov, V'yafet briti Yitzchak, V'yafet briti Avraham ezkor, V'ha'aretz ezkor. The verb to remember is written right next to Avraham, right next to Yaakov, and right next to the Aretz. But then it says V'yafet briti Yitzchak without saying the word to remember. So the Gemara says, you don't remember something which is right in front of you. You don't have to bring it to mind. And Afro shel Yitzchak is tzavur u'munach lefnei Hashem. The ashes of Yitzchak are in a pile before God at all times. So it's as if Timrato, his smoke itself, went up. V'hayahu u'tzimurato. So this is saying the law of Tzimura is not being broken. Because both Yitzchak and the aisle became a korban. And the proof of the matter is Yitzchak wasn't allowed any longer to leave Eretz Yisrael. He was on a lot to Mima. His machshava was kima'aseh. It was as if he had actually gone through with the Akedah. And now we ask God to remember this for our generation. Zikaron lefanecha bashachak. A remembrance for you in the heavens. La'ad b'sefer yuchak. May it always be inscribed or chiseled out, engraved on parchment or on a tablet. Brit olam lo nimchak. An unerasable, indelible covenant, et Avraham v'et Yitzchak, with both of them. And now we refer to ourselves and we say, Korecha ba'im likod, those who call to you, Hashem, are coming to bow down. Bitzedek akedah tishkod. So again, what is tishkod here? You should use the righteousness of the Akedah, the zchus of the Akedah, and you should quickly respond, or you should conscientiously and assiduously respond. Tzoncha berachamim tifkod. Tifkod is a synonym for tizkor, like zichroneinu ufiktoneinu v'ashem pakad etzara. But it also happens to mean to remember with an eye towards action. Hashem pakad. So you should remember your flock, the Jewish people, with rachamim. Pinei Hatzon El Akod. Where is that from? It ends with a very ingenious thing. When Yaakov got all of the sheep of Lavan to give birth to Akudim, Nikudim, Uvrudim, he chiseled out those pieces of wood, those branches, and he turned the faces of the sheep when they were mating that they should see them. So Pnehem, their face, was to the Akod, to those designs that he made. But what is the borrowed meaning here? Pnei Hatzon, we are the Tzon. And we are all facing what? Akod, the Akedah, the one who was bound. We're turning our gaze towards the Akedah and the Zchus that it represents, and pleading with God that he should use it as a Zchus for us for a wonderful year. Mirtz Hashem to be continued next week.